Blog Talk Radio.
Father, we thank you today for the power and the authority of your word. We just thank you, Father, for using us to reach a world for Jesus Christ. And I thank you, Lord, for the speakers who will be on tonight. And I glorify you, Lord. I magnify you. And I know that we are here because of your goodness. It's not because of our goodness. And we thank you, Lord, for all things. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Yes, I'm going to be in the book of John,
chapter 14, verse 6, a very familiar passage of Scripture that we all know. So go with me in your Bible and follow along. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Notice that. Jesus saith, it's impossible for Jesus to lie. He said, I am the way. He's not one of many ways. He is the only way to the Father. He is the truth. He's not one of many truths. He is the only truth and the life. He's not one of many lives. He is the resurrection and the life. No man cometh unto the Father. Nobody can get to God the Father. Nobody can get to heaven unless they go through Jesus. He said, but by me. The only way to God. Matthew chapter 7, verse 14 says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way. Note that, the way, which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. I was reading the other day where they said that there's 7.4 billion people on the planet now. And here it says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way, which leadeth unto life. I just wonder how many people are truly on this way to life. And then he said, and few there be that find it. It can be found, but only found in Jesus, the blood of Jesus, and the word of God. John chapter 10, verse 1 says, Christ is the door and the good shepherd. He said in John 10, 1, it's in red, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. So if you enter not by the door, that's Jesus, into the sheepfold, but try to get to heaven some other way, the Bible says the same is a thief and a robber. John chapter 10, verse 7 says, then said Jesus unto them again, so apparently he told them before, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Jesus is that door to God the Father, to heaven. And John chapter 10, verse 9 says, Jesus said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. We can't do enough good works to go to heaven. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9 says, for by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is a free gift that Jesus paid for on the cross of Calvary with his redeeming blood. He died, he was buried, and God raised him on the third day. And in John 14, 6, our text says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, number two, Jesus is the way of escape. When people or the devil tells you there is no way, Jesus that way. He said, there has no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape. Jesus is that way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 8 through 15, and Hebrews chapter 10, 19 through 23, don't have time to read all of these. Those passages said that Jesus is the way into the holiest. You can write those scriptures down and read them in your own time. Number four, he is the new and living way. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 20 says, by a new and living way, which he has consecrated for us through the veil, that is saying his flesh. Well, the veil of the temple been ripped in twain, and we can go into the holies because of the blood of Jesus. We can come before the throne of grace boldly, that we may obtain help, mercy, and grace in a time of need. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9 says, and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. If not God will that any should perish, but all come to repentance. Number 5, he is the way of truth. 2 Peter 2:2 says, and many shall follow the pernicious ways by reason of whom, notice this, the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So there's going to be people that will speak evil of the way of truth. And that way of truth is Jesus. Number 6, Jesus is the right way. 2 Peter 2:15 says, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam, the son of Bosear, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Jesus is the right way. And number 7, Jesus is the way of righteousness. 2 Peter 2:21 says, for it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness. Jesus is the way of righteousness. Then, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. They backslid, and they fell from grace here. And in one last verse, 1 Corinthians 1:30 says, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. In other words, we're in Christ when we're born again, who of God is made unto us wisdom. Jesus is our wisdom. Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus is our sanctification. And Jesus is our redemption. Well, you've heard the word of God, and Christ is a sevenfold way. Well, I'm going to turn it back over to my brother.
Thank you, brother. This message. God bless you. May he continue to keep.
Sin and death. But what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walketh not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We can't walk in the Spirit without Jesus being inside of us. We can't do that. We don't have the strength, the power, nor the ability. And in fact, if he's not inside you, you don't want it anyway. And verse 5, For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. So when Jesus comes into our lives, life to us becomes about things of the Spirit instead of this world. Because the only thing I hear in this world is misery and pain and trouble. And being out there without the Lord, that's the only thing we knew how to find was all the trouble. Something going to hurt you, kill you, work the rest of your life for it. Just whatever. You know, it's going to get worse, not better, certainly, without Jesus. For to be calm-minded is death, but to be spiritual-minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. You can't please God if you don't know him. You don't even have a desire to want to please him. You don't want that. I mean, you're interested in your own thing, and that's just how it is. We don't know nothing about Jesus till he comes into our lives, and our whole life changes and turns around. But ye that are in the flesh, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So you saying you believe to God, you saying that you are a Christian and you belong to Christ, well, then if he's inside you, you know that. Just saying it or accepting it yourself and it's not true is not going to help. You're going to have to repent and you're going to have to want him inside you. He is not coming nowhere. He's not welcome. He's not coming anywhere where there's no repentance. There's no change. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life, the Spirit is life because of righteousness. All we know is sin, what this body wants, what's at the party, and who's giving the party, somebody else's business and gossip and things that are ungodly, hearsays, lies, those things are the only things that really we're interested in. Because why? We don't know any better. But when Christ comes into our lives, all this stuff drops off of us. And we realize that Christ grows inside of us. And pretty soon the things of the world become smaller and smaller to us. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by the Spirit that dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if we live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. In other words, without Christ in our lives and Christ in us, we're going to die. There's no way to get to heaven without going to Jesus Christ. He's the only one that paid the price. He's the one that shed his blood. It was his blood that washed away our sins. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry out, Abba, Father. So instead of gossiping and murmuring and complaining all the time, We need to get somewhere and cry out, Abba, to our Father. Follow after Jesus, and you won't have time to murmur and complain. And how do you think you're going to have health, good health? How do you think you're going to feel good when all you do is murmur and complain? It doesn't exist in murmuring and complaining. Salvation is not in murmuring and complaining. Healing is not in murmuring and complaining. Neither is salvation. So we have to learn. I mean, it takes years, Lord, but if we're willing, he'll teach us. His Spirit knows all things, and we follow after him. He's the way. But the Spirit itself bears witness to our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so, that we suffer with him, that we also may glorify with him. And that's one thing for sure, the suffering that we do. We realize that the suffering comes to divide us, divide our thoughts away from him, and to get us in the wrong place where he's not. That's, you know, but you can, in other words, he'll get your attention. He'll let you know that without me, what's going to happen to you? You're not going to get off of your knees very far without finding them again. That's just the way it is. I mean, now, if you want to have a reprobate mind and don't believe in Jesus, all that is on you. He still loves you. He still died for you, whether you accept it or not. So I agree that we ought to accept what he has done for us in our lives. It was all for our good, not his. But, you know, we all hard-headed. The old folks used to say, you know, you made your bed, now you lay in it. But most people don't understand that they're bound by the decisions they make, and they're also bound by what comes out of their mouth. They don't know about that either. But we also reap what we sow. So it's actually us that spin the web that we're going to walk in tomorrow unless we repent today and ask God to guide us and be with us. And it ain't no such thing as way back yonder, I was saved, and I'm saved forever. Yeah, you are saved forever, but you're saved forever because of Jesus, not you. And if children, then heirs of God, and John heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, then we may also glorify with him. Now, when we glorify with him, we glorify him because we know what we're talking about, that we ought to be dead. We don't deserve his goodness. We know all that. And that's the reason why a lot of times we get afraid, we get scared, because we know what we deserve. We know we don't deserve his goodness. We don't deserve his grace and his mercy. But therefore, he gives it to us because of his love, not because of nothing we've done, but because of him. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time was not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed to us by the earnest expectations of the creature walketh for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. God has it already finished. It's already done. All we have to do is follow after him. But oh no, most of us get other things in our eyes, we get other things in our minds, and then we let other things into our heart. That's just going to cause us misery and pain in everybody that's around us. But they call that life, and that's how we learn. One person is no different from the other. We all came here in sin. We don't need to crawl up on our righteousness because it's not going to save you. But we know that the whole creation groaned and travailed in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves grown within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit and the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that it is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doeth he yet hope for? In other words, you got to have a vision other than what you can see visually. It has to be inside you, and they call it faith, and there's no evidence of it other than you believe it. And when you believe in him, he will not fail you. He won't change his mind. He won't do something different. And he won't backbite. And he won't be one person today and somebody else tomorrow. He remains the same. Glory to God. But if ye hope for what ye see not, then do ye with patience wait for it. Likewise, the Spirit also helped our infirmities, that we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. In other words, we can't understand. We don't understand all the things that happen to us. We don't understand, and we're not supposed to understand. God understands, and God knows. We have to trust God. It's the only way you can make it. Are you going to trust God? He hadn't said anything about trusting man. He didn't say trust man. He says trust God. So if we're going to love man, you're going to love him with God's love, because they're going to wear your love out. So that's the reason we have to have the fruits of God's Spirit, because our earthly stuff will change on you in a minute. As soon as it don't suit you, it's gone. 27, and he that searches the heart knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestine to be conformed to the image of his Son, that it might be first, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, when he did predestinate them, he also called. And whom he called, them he just also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? For that shared not his... I'm sorry, 32. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifies. You know, we don't have to worry about none of it. God's got it all fixed. He's got it all fixed like he wants it. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, it is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation, a distress, a persecution, a famine, a nakedness, a peril, a sword? It is written, for their sake, we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loves us. For I am so persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor power, nor things present, nor things to come. Glory be to God. Neither height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, I can tell you one thing. Jesus fixed it all. All we have to do is follow after him. And who follows after Jesus, we find the peace. We find the fruits of his spirit. We find love for one another. We find joy and peace on this earth. But we only find that in Christ Jesus. He's the one that died and shed his blood. Amen.
Praise God. Thank you for that message. It's all coming good. Praise the Lord. God is good. Thank you, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives. Praise God. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I used to be a wretch. Now I'm a son of the Most High God because of what Jesus did on the cross. Tonight I'm going to let Tierra Williams bring a message. Welcome to Real Truth. Amen.
Thank you.
Let the Lord bless you.
And thank you.
You're welcome.
I just want to say I'm grateful for being here, and I'm just grateful that the Lord has, you know, made today a day that the Lord has made and that we should all rejoice and be glad in it. And I'm just grateful for just having another, you know, just being able to walk, you know, and have the opportunity to live another day in the land of the living and the opportunity to uplift His name. And say that I am a child of the Almighty God and that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's pretty much all, but I'm just grateful and I'm a little shy. I'm sorry. But I'm grateful for all that Christ has done for me.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you for that.
Thank you.
God is good. Tonight I want to talk out of 1 Corinthians, the second chapter, starting at verse 1. This is a passage we read every night, and it's very good for us. Paul says, "And I, brethren, could not, I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." In other words, this is you ministering. Your testimony is your message to the world. Remember, your testimony is not with fine words. It's with a heart of love. It's the heart of God. He says, "For I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." But, and you know what? We would cut out a lot of mess going on in the church if we would just preach Jesus. And we would just teach people how to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the Lord. But we've got so much other stuff going on in there. We just feel like, hey, man, we got to have some drummer. Well, Jesus Christ dying on the cross, Jesus Christ resurrecting from the dead is all the drummer we need. That's why we're saved, because of what Jesus did. "And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." I can tell you the Holy Spirit is not here to make you shout. He's here to give you power over demonic forces. When you are out ministering the word of God, Satan is trying to stop you. He wants to stop message of Jesus Christ. We shall not let him stop the message of Jesus Christ. There are people who need to hear the message, and we are complaining about what's going on with the air conditioning. We are complaining about the carpet. We are complaining about, you know, all kinds of things. Who's going to sing in the choir? Who preaches the best? Who sings to them? I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that we are going out to tell people about Jesus Christ. That's all I want to hear. I don't want to hear the other stuff. I don't want to hear the drama. I want to hear that we are equipping the church, that we are teaching young Christians I really don't care what color the carpet's going to be. I really don't care how big the things are. I want to know, what are we going to do about those people who have fallen in the ditch, who have fallen in the pit? Can we lift them out with love? He says in verse 5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. In other words, there is a man's wisdom, and there's a God wisdom. I want God's wisdom, because God's wisdom is greater than the wisdom of this world. I want the knowledge of God. I want the wisdom of God. I want the understanding of God. And that's what the Holy Spirit does. He brings us to God, so we can learn to live like God in this world. Jesus said, let thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We need to bring the atmosphere of heaven to earth. That's what Adam had before he sinned against God. We are greater. We are greater than the things of the world. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. So we don't have to worry about what the world is doing. We should be concerned what God is doing in our lives. God told Solomon in 2 Chronicles 7:14, my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I would hear from heaven and would forgive their sins and heal their land. He didn't say the heathens. He said his people. So if America is going bad, it's because there's no light. There's no examples. We ought to be good examples. We ought to show them what love is about. Jesus said, by this all men will know that you are my disciples, when you have love one for the other. Now, people always ask me, why do you love me? You don't even know me. And then I would say, how can you hate me and you don't know me? I love you because I have the love of God inside of me. You can't love me because you've got the hatred of Satan inside of you. And God wants to deliver you from that hatred. However, we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of this world that is coming to nothing. Everything in this world is coming to nothing. So when you invest in the world, you are investing in something that is going down. If you invest in the Titanic, it has already sunk. And that's what's happening in our lives. We're investing in the world. We are hungering for the things of the world rather than the things of God. And we find ourselves squabbling in the church about nothing, that don't amount to a hill of beans. We complain about denominations. Which one's right? I don't care what denomination you're under. Jesus says, don't rejoice that the demons are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in the Lamb's book of life.
not your names are written on somebody's church roll, but your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. There is nowhere in the Bible that tells you to put your name on some church roll. He says, don't forget the assembling of yourselves together. You can assemble anywhere with Christians. You don't have to be in a building with a steeple on it. You don't have to be there. You can assemble in the restaurant. You can assemble on your job. You can assemble anywhere. Don't let the devil trick you into believing the lies that have been fabricated by men. So Paul says, hey man, I don't want to know all that stuff. Don't tell me who's stealing the money. Don't tell me nothing. I want to know, what are we going to do about those who are lost on their way to hell? I want to know about that. I want to know, how are we going to train men how to be good husbands and good fathers? How are we going to train women to be good wives and good mothers? I want to know that. I don't want to know about those buildings. I want to know about the temples of God where the Holy Spirit lives. I want to know, how can I help you? How can I make you successful? You know, people, I mean, the devil tries to put us under control of flesh. But the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us has freed us. He reveals God the Father and Jesus Christ to us. According to Ephesians 4:13, until we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, to the measurement of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we be no more children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, the trickery and craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You got over 1,000 different denominations. Guess what? There's only one church, and his name is Jesus Christ. Jesus says, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is built on the word that comes from the mouth of God the Father. When Peter says, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus says, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you, but my Father, which is in heaven. It is the revealed truth that comes from heaven that he built his church on. It is building on this arguments we got. People say, well, we're closer to the Bible. I don't want to be close to the Bible. I want to be right on the Bible. And the Holy Spirit will teach us and guide us into all truth. So if we move the opinions of men, we move them out of the way, the church can come together and do her job. We're not here to compete with each other. We are here to bring a dying world to the Lord Jesus Christ so they will not die and go to hell. I'm telling you, we argue about stuff that don't matter. It really don't matter. The things of the world are going to pot. So if you're investing in the world, guess what? You're going to lose. We need to invest in God. And we'll always win. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world to our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew.
But had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. They would not have crucified Jesus if they knew he was going to resurrect and start a movement called the saints of God, called the temples of God. He would not have crucified Jesus had he known W.L. Scott would be saved and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wouldn't have known if he knew that Mary Simmons was going to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. He wouldn't have known that Tierra Williams would preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, that he would take failed people and proclaim his message. He would take a man like Paul, who tried to put the church out of business. He would resurrect him from the dead, and he would write 2/3 of the New Testament. Had he known it, he would not have crucified Jesus. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have it entered into the hearts of men, the thing that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. If you want to know the things of God, listen to the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. Why hire an amateur to build your house and expect it to be like a professional? Why not hire the professional so you won't have to go back and redo it? Well, the Holy Spirit inside of you is the professor. He is the professional that has been given by God to teach us about God. That's my job, is to tell people to listen to what the Spirit is saying to the church. That's what our jobs are. It is not to try to interpret the Bible for somebody or change the wording. That is not our job. Our job is to tell them, if you want the truth of the interpretation of the Bible, you need to consult the one who wrote the Bible, who lives inside of you. Now, if he don't live inside of you, then you need somebody to tell you about Jesus. I want you to know that same Holy Spirit. The Bible says no one would call Jesus accursed by the Spirit of God. And no one will say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. I don't care how you cut it. The Holy Spirit is in play on planet Earth. I don't care how you cut it. He's going to run the church. I don't care how great your leaders are. They're going to die, but the Holy Spirit will move on. So there's a great revival coming, and it's the Holy Spirit raising up men and women, boys and girls, who will proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world that's dying on their way to hell. For what man knows the things of a man? Think about it. Nobody knows what W.L. Scott knows but W.L. Scott. And even, it says, even so, the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Somehow we think we can get God without God. Somehow we believe that we have enough knowledge to figure God out without listening to the Holy Spirit. But I tell you right now, God has sent Jesus to redeem us. God has sent the Holy Spirit to live inside of us and to guide us into all truth.
God has set it up, that he would take the hands of man off of his work. He has set it up that the opinions of men was not going to be his opinion. That's why he gave us the Holy Spirit to live inside of us. So we can do right. You know, people say it's hard to do right. Well, the Holy Spirit inside of you will lead and guide you into all truth. So all we have to do is listen to him. Instead of listening to our flesh, we need to listen to the Holy Spirit, who will lead us and guide us in all truth. When we do wrong, hey, we got a guilty conscience. Feel good about it. So why not listen to what the Spirit is saying? I just want you to know that I love you. I care about you. I want you to grow. And you'll never grow without the Word of God. You'll never have a strong prayer life without the Word of God. John, 1 John says, 5:14. This is the confidence we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. His will is his word. We don't want to get in the Word of God taught by the Holy Spirit. That's why we cannot pray with confidence. That's why we cannot pray with boldness. We don't know the will of God. We just know what somebody told us. We can't get what God has for us because we don't know his will. It is God's will for the Holy Spirit to lead and guide us into all truth. We don't know that. We're trying to figure out, like, what does this mean to you? What does this mean to you? That is not studying the Word of God. Getting into the Word of God is setting under the anointing of the Holy Spirit and letting that Word flow through you. We're not here to figure out the Bible. We're here to allow the Bible to wash us and cleanse us and bring us to the attitude of God. Father, we thank you tonight because you touched us and you made us meet. You made us qualified. No matter what the world says about it, you've already set us in motion to do this. And I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is unto salvation to everyone who believes. I believe, Lord, and I pray that you'll touch every person on the face of this earth, that they will know Jesus Christ. They will know that he saves, he loves, he cares. Touch them, Lord. And teach us, Lord. So thank you, Father, for all things. In Jesus' name. Praise the Lord. We just love you, Lord. We just glorify you. We magnify you. We just love you, Lord. We just magnify you. Because you are such a good God. You love us so much.
Who told the ocean you can only come this far? And who showed the moon where to hide till evening? Whose words alone can catch a falling star? Well, my Redeemer lives
Amen. We know that our Redeemer lives because he lives inside of us. I thank God for all of you today. Thank God for I thank God for Sister Tierra. Thank God for Shannon. May God richly bless you. Good night.
Good night.
Good night, ladies.
Good night.
We love you.
Love you. God bless you.